But we're going to start off talking about competition, particularly competition in government contracting, and a just really fascinating report out from GAO about competition and how much competition is there in government contracting. That's essentially the question GAO asks. Many procurement experts have said that competition gives the government better prices, but they also argue that it gives agencies better value through the competition of ideas, people competing for best, better ideas to beat the other guy. So how much competition is going on out there? GAO, Government Accountability Office, has just completed its assessment of competition and acquisition. The report just released. Joining us is John Hutton. He, of course, is the Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at GAO, and we're always thrilled to have Mr. Hutton with us. John, how are you?
Great, thanks, Chris, and it's great to be back on your program to talk about our work.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So before we delve into the why is competition important? Why does this matter? Everyone talks about competition and how important it is, but why is it important?
Well, I think you kind of touched on some of the key points right at the start, Chris. It's a cornerstone of our acquisition system, and as you noted, it's a tool for achieving really the best possible return on investment for the taxpayer.
And I think so often people focus on getting a better price, but it's more than just price.
You're right. It can, as a vehicle, it can help improve contractor performance. It might help curb some fraud. It can help promote accountability for results. And some of our past work had demonstrated that agencies could take advantage of greater opportunities of competition.
And so you're tasked with assessing competition out there. Again, before we delve into some of the findings of this, how do you go about doing that? There's so many government contracts out there, and then not to mention all the task orders out there. Where do you even begin? How do you measure that?
Well, in my mind, in terms of measuring competition, or
how do you when you're starting off on this report, you're assigned to look at look at this. Where do you start? How do you do that?
Well, we first wanted to take a look at the landscape of what the current condition was for contracting in the federal government, and we looked at the federal procurement data over a five-year period, and we went through that data and looked at the extent to which the federal government was obligating money on contracts that were non-competitively awarded versus using competition. And that was really our starting point, because once we had that information, we then looked at the non-competition awards, and we wanted to delve in a little deeper to see what was really going on. But there was another aspect of this work that I think is really interesting, and that is that, you know, there are situations where the government may be taking a competitive approach, but they may only end up with one offer.
And I want to talk about that, but before we do that, let's talk about, give people the breakdown on numbers. How much competition is actually going on out there?
Sure. In terms of like percent of obligations on non-competitive awards, we looked at it over a five-year period. And from fiscal year 05, it was about 36% of the obligations were for non-competitive awards. And then when you look at it in fiscal year 09, it was about 31%. So you saw a decrease from 36% to 31% in obligations on non-competitive awards. But an interesting point there is, at the same time, you also saw the total dollars obligated on federal contracts over that same period jumping from $430 billion to about $540 billion.
So fewer competition, fewer sole source.
That's right.
By the way, let me ask just for a case in point: is sole source the same as no competition? Those two things aren't necessarily one and the same, are they?
Well, we can use those terms like that.
Okay,
I think, say.
They can be. So fewer sole source contracts, and yet the amount of money going to sole source contracts actually up.
Well, yeah. Well, the overall dollars
went
up, and I think the other point, though, when I mentioned earlier that competed with one offer, that remained pretty steady at about 13% of the total obligation. So when you looked at the dollars on the non-competitive awards, you saw it coming down a little bit, but that level of obligations on competing with one offer remained about steady.
The other thing that I found really, really interesting is you have a chart where you trace it over the years and you break it down by quarter.
Yes.
And non-compete contracts actually go down in the fourth quarter of the year. Mm-hmm. I would have anticipated that they went up as you end that end of year buying season and people just don't have the time for competition, but that's actually not the case.
It's interesting. We looked at it particularly just wanting to see what was happening, and that was a little surprising, I think, to see it.
Just one of those hard to explain, but mm-hmm. it was surprising to me. Mm-hmm. So the report talks about contracts being miscoded. What does miscoded mean? How does that happen? Why would that happen?
Well, a lot of the work that we've done, we start with a federal procurement database and system, and we do find coding errors. Sometimes things, you might have had a multiple award, or you might have had multiple award, indefinite delivery, definite quantity contract
right.
awarded, but you might have competed that, and then for the actual task orders off that award, it might say, something like sole source or something. So,
right.
So you want to go in and make sure you're reading the actual awards. But sometimes it's just a miscoding, and the federal government's got a effort underway to try to help improve the accuracy of the data in the system. And we use that system often as a starting point for our work.
You mentioned that even when agencies seek to do competition, oftentimes they'll end up with situations where they only get one, maybe two offers coming in. And
right.
we just talked to the folks over at the recovery board. And when they were doing recovery.gov, they used the Alliant contract, and it ended up only getting, I think, two vendors coming mm-hmm. submitting bids.
Mm-hmm.
That's not all that unusual.
Well, there's a lot of factors as to why that might happen. I mean, you could think about the fact that maybe the requirements that the government prepared when they went out for that solicitation, maybe they were written in an overly restrictive way, so you may end up getting one offer. But, you know, you also have to think about the contractors themselves are making decisions as to whether they want to compete or not on a particular solicitation. So they may be thinking about things of, you know, what are my opportunities to win this award? What are the costs of developing a proposal? What's the potential financial gain? So, you know, there's a little bit on both sides. You know, there could be a variety of reasons, as our report aptly put out, as to what that might cause that.
I think sole source has sort of this negative term, but there might be situations where you would sole sourcing actually makes sense, aren't there?
Yes, sir. There's a variety of reasons, and of course, it's important to point out that regulations permit non-competitive awards,
right.
And what we found is in the tens of billions of dollars, and there may be situations where there's really only one supplier, so you really have no other option than to go to this one contractor because you need the service or good. You have certain preferences under the regulations, say for small business, where you can make a sole source award to
right.
a small business. So there are things like that. But then there's other things. Terms of international agreements might be where the regulations allow you to use a non-competitive award.
Hmm.
So a host of reasons.
Talk about a little bit about your recommendations. You make one broad recommendation, but talk a little bit about that, and then
mm-hmm.
What folks can do to improve competition.
Great. The main recommendation really was directed at OFPP, and I'm pleased to say they concurred with our recommendations, and they've been concurring with a lot of the recommendations in our reports recently on high-risk vehicles and looking to save the taxpayer more money. But the main recommendation was we wanted OFPP to determine whether they ought to amend the federal regulations so that when you have a situation where you went out with a solicitation and you only received one offer, that the agencies kind of go back and look and try to determine, you know, what happened, why did this happen, and what can I do with an eye towards maybe increasing competition the next time. So that was one thing that we thought was really important. And in some cases, we found where some did that, but we felt that having guidance that was more directly paying attention to that would help. But we had some other recommendations, and we haven't talked about this yet, but statutes and regulations require agencies to have a competition advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and really their
chief competition officer or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And their main goal is to promote full and open competition and to challenge, you know, barriers to competition along the way. And the statutes and regulations require them to have it at the departmental level, at the individual contracting activities. And what we found when we looked at that was that roles and the placement of the competition advocates in the organization kind of varied across departments. We saw that the nature of their expertise varied, and just basically various ways that they and steps they might take to help improve competition. So we thought it would be a good thing for OMB to take a look at that. And OMB had already announced that they wanted to reinvigorate the role of petition advocate, but we put a little more focus on that and asked that they provide some additional guidance on perhaps the placement and skill sets that might make for a most competition advocate a most effective one, and to actually involve program managers to encourage more competition.
Is there any agency that actually has something like that?
We have examples. We found that for the locations that we went to, they did have competition advocates, and the report outlines some steps that some of them take. And I think an important point here, just really to our overall message about competition, is that you have the program officials with the requirements, and you have the contracting activities out there. And it's really important that they work together as early as they can possibly do before they actually go out with a solicitation, so that there's a good definition of needs. The contracting people, the competition advocate can all interact and look for ways that are we going to take the steps to maximize competition to the best possible way that we can. And like you mentioned earlier, there are some cases when you're really in a position, though, that you are going to end up going sole source to an individual.
We're out of time, but my sense is OFPP gets this and believes in competition.
They do.
Yeah, perfect. John Hutton is the Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at GAO. Find a link to the report called Federal Contracting Opportunities Exist to Increase Competition and Assess Reason When Only One Offer Is Received. You can find a link to that report. It's online, federalnewsradio.com/DoraBeck Insider, or just go to DoraBeckInsider.com. John, always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, John.